welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
It is so great to have all of you here today. I see a couple of faces. Welcome you all. It's great to see you. Would you close your eyes and pray with me? Thank you, Jesus, for your word, which is truth, life, freedom, unfailing, Father. And today we worship you, Jesus, for who you are and for what you've done. For what you've done for us, Lord. And God, I bring myself before you, Lord. I pray, let every word that departs from my mouth bring your name glory, bring life, and bring freedom in this place today, Father God. We all want to walk out of this place today, Lord, being changed by your presence, your truth. Lord, so that we can change this world, Father, as you have called us to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. In preparation for my message today, I approached God, I think, a bit differently than what I normally did. And I was like, okay, God, what do you want to say? And this was quite recently. I didn't have this word or so for months or weeks to come. And God was just saying, oh, Chris, I've been doing what I want you to speak about for the last 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, everything just became clear, and my preparation actually just went so quickly for today. Because today, I'm really speaking out of my heart. I'm preaching to myself and to that which God has come and stir in my heart, in my soul, in my life, which is in the process of changing, but it's really not where it has to be, or to the point where I feel like, okay, this is actually what God meant through it. The title of my sermon is New Wineskins. So right in the middle of the service, we are all going to drink some wine, and then we're going to see what God wants to do. Can I get an amen? A lot of us do not like the idea, I see, but you know what? Let's keep it biblical. Let's read out of Psalm 39, verse 1 to 6. What is the measure of my days? I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. What does the scripture speak about? Our life, our time on earth is short. It's really short. It's like mere handbreadth. It's like a breath. It is merely a shadow. And it is as nothing to God because it is so short. So, what are we doing with our lives? Because it is clear that we do not have an abundance of time to waste. I believe when Jesus came to set us free, when he came to earth to become man, to buy us with his blood, I believe that he did that so that our entire lives will bring glory to him, will be filled with purpose, righteousness, justice, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, all those great things, which comes with the Holy Spirit. And I do not believe that God came to save us from eternal damnation so that we can waste our life. I'm sure that all of you would agree with me. It sounds merely simple, and I'm sure in concept we do agree. But let me ask the question again. What are we doing with our lives? Where do we find ourselves in the moment? Whether we are studying, working, looking after family, doing school, whatever we are doing at the moment, what is our situation in that? Do our lives revolve around our studies? Does it revolve around our children, our spouses, our bank balance? Does it revolve around examinations? And today I want to be clear, I'm not speaking about not focusing on your responsibilities and giving that and doing it as to glory unto God. But are those things the center of our lives? Do we wake up in the morning and the first thing we think about is, I need to go to school. Where's my husband? Am I ready for my exam? Am I making the right life choices? Because today, I believe God wants to help us just pull off the road today so that we can reevaluate where it is we are heading, in the manner in which we are heading to that destination. It is so easy to be caught up in the motions, in the worries, in the habits of life. Because when that happens, we miss that what God has called us for in our life, but every single day as well. I believe God wants us today just to take a moment and pause and look at our lives and where are we going? How are we going there? Are we working only to gather and collect a lot of stuff to gain status in life, to be busy at church the whole time? Are we doing all these things but missing God's calling and His purpose and the real manner in which we are supposed to walk our lives, which is out of a place of overcoming, of joy, of peace, of abundance? And our primary focus is not our spouses, it's not our families, it's not our children, it's not our job, it is God. I'm sure we all understand divine order and we all know that God is placed right at the head of it. And we know that compared to God, all these other things, yes, even families, it is just as nothing compared to God. God is a jealous God and He wants all of us. 100% of our lives, of our hearts, of our thoughts, of all of us. He's not happy with 99% of it. You know that God, He only knows, He knows right and He knows wrong. That's why it says you're either hot or you're cold. If you're lukewarm, I will spit you out. There's white, there's black, there's life and there's death. There's nothing in between, because what is in between is even worse in a sense than what is wrong. Because that means we have heard the truth, we have seen the truth, but we still choose not to walk in the fullness thereof. Luke chapter 12 verse 20. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" God is speaking to the rich fool, and his life revolves around his possessions, his things, his money. If God has to come tonight and say, "No, tonight your soul is required of you," what's going to happen to all our, what's going to happen to our family, to our money, to our, it's going to be left behind. It's going to be, we're going to go without it. And I know you're saying, "Chris, too, but I've heard this since I was 3 years old." But do we live like we've heard it since we have been 3 years old? Sometimes, the basics are the best. The song that goes, "Read your Bible, pray every day." I think we should sing that in church more often. Because I believe there are so many Christians that do not pray or read their Bible every single day. And I don't know who would agree with me. The basics are the best, because the Bible, it is quite simple in a sense. No, there's no use in God giving us a guideline of life, but you need a doctorate to figure it out. Through the Holy Spirit, everything makes sense. God's word is truth. It is simple. It is good. Do we read our Bibles and do we pray every day? Do we live as if that which we have and what we wear will not go with us to heaven? Principles which we've been hearing since we've been small, but I believe we are not living as if we have. And even on top of that, God has not even called us to live like we're not going to go with everything. He calls us to live with no anxiety, with no fear, because our quality of life is not dependent on all the stuff we have. Whether you're poor, whether you're rich, you have received life and life in abundance through Jesus. All of us. So all these other things, it's just add on to that which God has done. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 26. For the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Gathering and collecting stuff is it's a striving after wind. It's vanity. It's sin. And God will actually just use that person to give to the one who pleases God. Today, please understand me correctly. I'm not saying to be rich is wrong. Not at all. I know God's heart is to bless all of us and bless us to measure which we do not understand and ever will. So having money is not wrong, but do we serve money or does money serve us? Where does it fit into our lives and our priorities compared to where God sits? How many hours do we spend in an office trying to grow our bank balance or security for our family compared to the time we spend with God? You know what? No money can ever secure our family, only God can. You can live right in the middle of, where's a hectic place? Ukraine at the moment, and God will protect you. Because he is above this world. He commands armies of angels. So our money is not security. It's not at all. It's a false sense of security. It's a false sense of hope. And it's a false sense of happiness. God is the only true source of it. We read, the one who pleases God, God has given wisdom, knowledge, and joy. So he has given us everything. So today, let's pause. Fill up the handbrake, stop next to the road. Evaluate where we are going. I'm sure most of us here are probably still studying. Most of us, some of us are working. We have families. Why are we doing what we are doing? Are we perhaps studying the course because our parents said so? Are we studying it because God has spoken and we are aligning our lives to walk in the fullness of God? Are we working in a job today but we hate every single moment of it? How's our marriages? How's our relationships going? Let's just pause and evaluate where we are going. Refocus. As we just sang that song in the end, Spirit, lead me as I walk upon the waters. We're not supposed to try to keep our head above waters. We are supposed to walk on the water, overcome anything that which is in this world and of this world because of Christ. And if we do not, this might sound a bit harsh, but you know what? We are just totally blaspheming against the cross. Because we do not believe the power thereof. We are saying, Jesus, your word says we are overcomers. You have set us free. You have given us life, life in abundance, and all things that pertain to life and godliness. But you know what? Today I'm just going to worry about my own little life and about my security and about my sinus that I have. Oh, man. Let's look at the promises of God and the fullness of life which he has given us. And let's walk in that. God has died for us so that we can walk in freedom and in life. When after God has spoken to me about this and after I had to reevaluate my life and look to my intentions and why I do certain things, God has brought me to one thing, to what he showed me, to what is, crucial in living a life of abundance and of power. And you know what the thing is? It's fire. God brought me to fire. Let's read a scripture. Jeremiah 20 verse 9. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot. God's word, God's love, God's spirit, God's life is like a fire inside our bellies. And in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, that drives us to do what we do to see God's kingdom come. But I reevaluate my own life when I know that there are people sitting here today and that fire has not even gone small, it's gone out. Do we wake up with a burning in our hearts? And I'm not talking about heartburn, I'm talking about the fire of God. No, this thing is not supposed to be quenched by drinking a glass of milk. This thing is our driving force behind our passion, behind our emotions, behind our motives, behind that what we do is this fire burning inside of us. Do you have the fire inside of you this morning? Do you? Do you wake up excited, jumping out of bed because you are sweating like crazy because God just wants to work in and through you in your life? Or do you wake up, let's just snooze a little bit? Our time on earth is short. It's like a mere breath. It's just like a couple of hand breaths. And I'm guilty of this, but snoozing, you know, really doesn't help the fact that life on earth is short. But we need that fire inside of us because we will jump out of bed already receiving a mission from God, that which He wants to do that day through us. Luke 24, verse 32. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scripture?" Now this is Cleophas, and the Bible's not clear about his partner. I think it's his wife. They were walking on the way to Emmaus. And Jesus died, but He resurrected. So He appeared to Cleophas, and let's call it his partner, while they were walking. And Jesus, in a way, hid Himself so that He didn't appear as if the way He did, so they wouldn't recognize Him. And He asked them, "Who's this Jesus guy?" And they said, "You must be the only guy in Jerusalem not knowing who Jesus was." So they started speaking to Him, started telling Him what happened and how He was carried on to be crucified. And as they walked, it started to get late, and Jesus made as if He was going to walk further, like Cleophas and his partner invited Him to go into the house and eat with them. So Jesus entered, and they started breaking bread, and as Jesus started to break bread, He revealed Himself, and they could see it's Jesus. And then He disappeared. They said as they walked with Jesus and as Jesus opened up the Scripture to them, it was like a fire burning inside, which they felt happening physically in them. And after that same hour, Cleophas and his partner went back to Jerusalem to join the 11 in a room and say, before they could say that they saw Jesus, they heard from them saying that they went to the tomb, stone was rolled away, they're not sure what happened, and they testified saying that, you know what, we saw Jesus. And Jesus appeared in the room again. You know, I would love to be teleported one day, especially for missions. It's just so much cheaper and saves so much time, seeing that our time is short. And I know God hears me. So He teleported, and He also teleported the disciples. He even teleported a boat with the disciples in it. If you don't know this, I want to encourage you to go read your Bible. You know, Jesus is way more awesome than we may think He is sometimes. So He appeared there in the room, and the people were a bit freaked out because for them that He appeared like a spirit. Jesus said, "No, I'm not a spirit. Does a spirit have flesh?" And still they didn't believe Him. He showed them his hands and said, look at my hands, look where I've been pierced. And still they weren't sure, and He said, "What are you eating?" And He took a fish and He ate a fish. And then they started to believe that Jesus was real. And that's where Jesus said, "You know, peace be with you." And then he disappeared again. Jesus' love, Jesus' word, Jesus' presence invokes in us a fire which drives us to build his kingdom, to take his word further, to take his life to those who haven't heard or accepted it in their own lives before. Because I want to take you to a very familiar scripture in Matthew 3:11, where John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." How many times daily we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I think sometimes we forget that it's the Holy Spirit and fire. I don't believe it's a misprint in the Bible, because I looked at a lot of different translations and all say the same thing. Are we filled with only the Holy Spirit, or do we have the Holy Spirit and the fire? Because I believe they work in conjunction with one another. It's the fire that cleanses us, that purifies us, but that also drives us. It's this fire inside of us, a million times worse than heartburn, that just brings it to the place where we cannot keep it in any longer, and we have to speak about God. We have to speak to those friends we have but that do not know Jesus. We have to go and speak to our family members who are on their way to hell because they do not know Jesus. We have been placed in our lecture hall to speak to that lecturer who does not know Jesus. We are supposed to be fearless and not being able to contain the fire that is inside of us, because it comes from God, it is holy, and it is burning us, so we need to let it out. Have we become complacent in our lives and in a sense not really care what happens to our families or friends? We all have people that do not know Jesus. What are we doing about it? Have we grown cold towards them? Our neighbors. If everyone has a mentality of thinking, you know what, someone else will come and tell them about Jesus, nothing is ever going to happen in this world. We are the people placed where we are to have his kingdom come. And I think today we need to trust God to ignite that fire in our hearts again. Because the Holy Spirit, we know, is like a wind. And he keeps that fire going, but the Holy Spirit can be quenched. The Holy Spirit is quenched by our disobedience, by our sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us. You know that aunt that do not know Jesus? You should go speak to her. Okay, yes, I will, but we don't. And we quench the Holy Spirit. You know what? The Holy Spirit will only warn us so many times. And with no wind, no fire gets kept alive. So today I believe God wants to, in a sense, just kickstart our hearts again today. With that fire, with that life, with that love, that burning inside of us, which we can contain, we can control. Acts 2 verse 3, "And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them." Talking about the day of Pentecost. Divided tongues as of fire. You know, the truth of God, his word, his gospel, it is supposed to burn people when they hear it, because it purifies, it cleanses, and it ignites in them a fire. Not supposed to water down the truth or try to accommodate man, because then it's sin. It is blasphemy against the truth. But the word, our words, are like fire when spoken into this world, into this life, into the lost. We are called to reach the lost. We are called to make the blind see Jesus. With that fire, with that life. And Jesus has made the way clear. He's opened the way. He's opened the heavens. The heaven is open. It's open over me. It's open over you. Jesus didn't say it is finished, but he didn't mean it's not really finished. Let's take the word for what it says. It's truth. It is finished. It is done. The way is clear. The way is open. We have overcome. We have beaten death. We have received life. We have received the Spirit. We have received the fire. And it's only us and our lives and our habits and our rituals and our comfort which quenches God, which quenches the Holy Spirit. You know what? And quenches our calling on our lives because we get caught up in our studies and our families and our children and we just miss God. None of us has been called to only be this. We are kings and queens on this earth. We are rulers. We have authority. We have power. And if you want to set that aside for only being a student, you know what? You're making the biggest mistake of your life, and I pity you. But we all have heard the truth. We all know what Jesus has done, and we have all been called to rule and reign with power, with authority, in love. Let's trust God today to ignite that in us. It doesn't matter if we are 10 years old or 50 years old. God wants to use us every single day. And all we can do about the time wasted is say, God, I repent. But you know what? Stop focusing on the time you've wasted and focus on every single second you have left and say, God, every second of my life, I want to give to you, dedicate to you. I want to see your kingdom come in this life through my life. I'm not sure if you're going to use anyone around me, but I know you want to use me, so use me. Let's take authority of the calling God has given us. He has called you to go even to the ends of the nations, preach his gospel, send people, go yourself. But don't do nothing, because then you are being disobedient to the direct command of God. We have all been called to go, to send, so let's do it. Let's align our lives again with the passion which Jesus walked on this earth with, because he has called us for nothing less. He even said, you'll do greater. So let's trust God to ignite our hearts again, our souls, our spirits. And if you're sitting and saying, you know what, Chris, it's just too late. It's not applicable to me, but only to my husband. Or only to a person standing in front of a church. You know what? It's just a lie. I encourage you to lay down that thought right now before God and say, God, you have called me. You've called me, Christy. You've called me, John. You've called me, John. You've called me, you are, to be your ambassador on this earth. Not to represent my small life, which is as nothing for you, but to represent who you are, Jesus. Represent your kingdom. Job 32, verse 18 to 19. For I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is like wine that has no vent, like new wineskins ready to burst. It should be impossible for us to contain the word of God inside of us. It should be impossible to contain this fire which is inside of us. Where's our zealousness? Where's our passion? Has someone ever called you drunk 9 a.m. in the morning because of you being so filled with the Spirit and passion? It's never happened to me before, so oh man, I am missing God. Let's throw away this thing of order, of having to look neat and tidy and proper. It's not the model that Jesus lived. It's not the model the disciples lived. Those guys were radical. John was wearing like camel hair stuff. He ate insects. That's radical. What would we do to a person standing in front of our door looking like that? That's John for you. He ate insects. He's a radical guy. Where's our focus? Let's focus it again on God today, on his model, on his lifestyle. And God has laid a specific song on my heart today. And it's the first time I had to do this while preaching. So please just bear with me. But you know what? God made it impossible for me to say no. Because it's burning inside of me, the song. So I'm going to play it. Sing it. And while I do it, I want us to close our eyes. We can look to the screen. The words will be there as well. And let's just pause. Look at our lives. And let's ask God to fan in us that flame again today. That fire. Let's not go home today without it. And then while we worship and you feel that God is doing something inside of you which you would like to respond to, or you feel you need someone to help pray with you for that, I want to encourage you to come to the front. And then facilitate if you see people come to the front, come and pray with them. Anoint them. And even if you're sitting here today and you've never accepted Jesus in your life, today is the perfect opportunity, because you know what? You're not going to do it tomorrow. So let's respond to God today, because He's knocking and He wants to ignite the flame so that the Holy Spirit can blow His wind and keep us alive, keep us burning with His fire, with His life, and with His love. Jesus, for your fire. Thank you for your presence, God. Lord, use us to ignite this world with your love, with your passion, with your power, through this fire that burns from our bellies, God. Let us burst into this world, Father. Use us, Lord. Make it impossible for us to contain this, what is inside of us, Lord. Thank you for igniting the fire in us again, Lord. This time, Lord, we do not want it to die down. We do not want to quench it. So guide us, Holy Spirit. Fan our flames with your wind and your power, your might. In the name of Jesus.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.